If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk a little SmackDown Live, continue our Raw reunion recap, and welcome the sons of a pro wrestling legend to the show who are heating up right now in MLW. On SmackDown this week, Kofi Kingston chose his opponent for SummerSlam, someone he has a lot of history with in Randy Orton. Bully and I discuss why their segment on SmackDown was the perfect example of how to use a legend to get someone else over. Everyone is still talking about Raw reunion from Monday, especially Stone Cold Steve Austin's closing out of the show. But Bully Ray tells you why it's not just a blessing, but also a curse. Plus, they are the sons of a pro wrestling legend and currently one of the hottest tag teams on the independent circuit and have just signed with MLW. We speak with Marshall and Ross, the Von Erichs, on today's show. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Now, we mentioned before, Bully, about the WWE Championship and Kofi Kingston looking for a challenger. Well, he called out Randy Orton last night, and I love what they did in that segment too, because they did something that they don't do a lot in the WWE, and that's go back. And they went back over 10 years. Kofi Kingston talking about that match he had on Monday Night Raw with Randy Orton at a sold out Madison Square Garden. By the way, the two shows are on sale now for Raw and SmackDown when the WWE comes to town in September. Still tickets available. But they did that in front of a sold out crowd, and that how after that match, everyone, myself included, because I remember coming on the air saying that was going to be the start of the Kofi Kingston push, and it just didn't happen. But now here we are 10 years later, Kofi Kingston's your champion, and then Randy Orton saying, you know what? I did hold you back because I didn't think you deserved it then, and I don't think you deserve it now. Really good verbiage between Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton last night.
I would love to be able to ask somebody in charge there why 11 years ago when we saw that match and they aired the footage last night, why did they pump the brakes on Kofi Kingston then? What didn't they believe in then? What did Kofi do wrong then? And I don't think Kofi did anything wrong then. I think it's just circumstantial, and sometimes that happens in the WWE. But 11 years ago, he was ready, or at least he felt ready. He performed as if he was ready, but obviously they didn't see it. You know what? So what? We're getting it now. He's a more mature Kofi Kingston. He's a smarter worker, and he's got a lot of seasoning under his belt now. The part that I liked best about the promo last night was Randy's brutal honesty. And this is the version of Randy Orton that I like the best. The version that can stand there and just slay you with facts and honesty. I didn't need a fake Jamaican accent. I didn't need to throw pancakes around. And I didn't need to shake my ass. All I needed to do was be Randy Orton. Man, if that doesn't stop you dead in your tracks and make you go, wow, he's right. And when Randy said that last night, with the conviction he said it with and how he looked right through Kofi when he said it, I was a believer. And I thought to myself, damn, Kofi, you're in for a fight.
Yeah, and this is a fight that I want to see. I've been saying I would love to have seen Kofi Kingston go up against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I would have loved that if we would have had Brock Lesnar cash in on Kofi instead of Seth Rollins. But you know what? This is not a bad consolation prize for me as a fan, because you're mixing in history, and I love the dynamic between Randy and Kofi, because Kofi is the guy that danced. Kofi had some bad gimmicks. Kofi's now the guy that wants to make everyone happy and throw out pancakes. It's great, and it works. And it works with the audience, and he has his legions of fans. Randy Orton is just Randy Orton. Randy Orton is just, you know, one of the best wrestlers in the world, and doesn't get a lot of attention because there isn't a lot of gimmicks around Randy Orton. He's just great at what he does. And Randy Orton is so perfect on the microphone, and the chemistry between the two is great. This is the same thing as we said about Shawn Michaels and Dolph Ziggler. Why did we like Shawn Michaels? Because that was a brutally honest Shawn Michaels, and it was a serious Shawn Michaels. That was the same thing with Kofi Kingston. We weren't getting a smile in Kofi Kingston that's throwing out pancakes to the crowd. We're getting a Kofi Kingston that believes in himself, thought he did not get the opportunity when he should, and he was serious last night on SmackDown.
And Kofi was actually smiling when Randy was cutting that promo. But I don't think he was laughing at Randy Orton. I think he was laughing and smiling because he knew Randy was right. Is there anything that Randy said that wasn't factual and accurate?
No.
Has Randy Orton ever had to be anything but Randy Orton?
No, he's just Randy Orton.
This is a wrestling ring, and I'm the best wrestler that's ever stepped foot in this wrestling ring. And at the end of the promo, Dave, who challenged who?
I mean, it went from Kofi challenging Randy because he needs that respect and he feels he needs somebody like that in the ring at SummerSlam. But by the end of it, it was Randy challenging Kofi Kingston.
I got the impression that when Kofi took off that championship and he raised it, it was Kofi saying, I need to wrestle you to beat you. Kofi laid down the challenge.
He did. But you know what? Randy Orton, and this is the beauty of Randy Orton, by his words and by his promo, they're challenging each other here, because Randy Orton needs to get back to that place where he was before. And Kofi Kingston, as he said before, he wants to be known as the best. Well, how do you do that? By who you're in the ring with. And who's better than Randy Orton when it comes to what he does best? He needs this match at SummerSlam. He needs to beat Randy Orton. He needs to prove that to himself, because this isn't just a storyline that started a couple of weeks ago in the build to SummerSlam. This is a decade in the making. That's why this is such a beautiful story for a pay-per-view like SummerSlam.
And I love the simplicity of the storyline. And finally, I'm getting a storyline that truly revolves around the wrestling match. Normally, the storylines sometimes don't even need a wrestling match to end. This one is all about me being the better wrestler versus you being the better wrestler. Kofi, I need to beat you to return the Orton name to prominence, and it's synonymous with the World Heavyweight Champion, but Kofi knows dead well, I need to beat Randy Orton if anybody ever wants to truly take me seriously. It is a great, simple story that relies on a match. And I want to see a wrestling match between these two. I'm buying a ticket for a wrestling match. I'm not buying a ticket for a spot fest. I'm buying a ticket for a wrestling match. And that's what I loved about the promo.
And I guarantee you, when we're at SummerSlam and we're watching that match, Bully, you're going to get just like what we saw at WrestleMania 35 for Kofi Kingston. You're going to see all the fans in attendance emotionally invested in that match and emotionally invested in Kofi Kingston. This is not just a match, but this is perfect and simplistic face versus heel. You know definitively who's the heel, and you know definitively who's the face in this situation.
Who do you think in their own mind needs to win more? Orton to get back the championship, or Kofi to prove to himself and the fans that he can beat Randy Orton?
It's Kofi Kingston. Because, yes, Randy Orton wants to get point, but, you know, Randy Orton doesn't have anything to prove. He's been there, done that. If he loses that match at SummerSlam, he's Teflon. I don't think anyone's going to look at Randy Orton different. But if Kofi Kingston loses that match at SummerSlam, then it's just what Randy Orton said. It was a fluke. It was a nice story. but this is not really what a WWE champion should be.
And leading into SummerSlam, I would like them every week to put Kofi in situations where Randy just outsmarts him, out-wrestles him, hits him with the cutter. I would love to see a little bit of doubt in Kofi Kingston leading into SummerSlam where he's going, man, I don't know if I can beat this guy. And maybe Xavier and Big E have to, you know, talk him up. Maybe to see some doubt. Which one of the Rocky movies was it where Rocky was showed that self-doubt? Where he said, wasn't it against Clubber Lang?
Where he's like, Rocky III.
He's too strong. I can't keep him off me. He's too strong. Maybe that's the position they need to put Kofi in so he can really battle from underneath.
I love it.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
I went to bed with a smile on my face because of that last 8 minutes of Monday Night Raw and Stone Cold Steve Austin. What he was able to do, man, it gave me chills. But at the same time, it reminded you of a different era and kind of reminded you of what you're not getting now. Kind of a blessing and a curse, huh, Bully?
What'd you do, read my Twitter? Because that's exactly what I put on there about Austin. Blessing and a curse. I compared it to rock and roll. Who's the next Van Halen? Who's the next Kiss? Who's the next Metallica? Who's the next AC/DC? Who's the next Steve? Who's the next Rock? Who's the next Hogan? Who's the next Cena? And so people are going, oh, well, we don't want the next Steve. We want the first somebody. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I want the first Seth Rollins. I want the first Roman Reigns. I want the first Charlotte. I want the first Becky. But I also want them to attain the level of superstardom that Steve did. And is it in the four of them or the five or whoever we're talking about? Sure, it's in them. It's just, will the WWE let it happen? When I see John Cena and Steve Austin getting the definitive biggest reactions of the night and superstars from today not getting those same reactions. Listen, when everybody yells burn it down, it's more about yelling in unison than cheering for Seth. You understand that, right, Dave?
Yeah. Absolutely, because when Seth was handed the microphone on Monday, you actually got boos from the crowd.
Think about what you just said. Seth was handed a microphone and people started to boo. Remember how we talked about, you know, with Roman, it all had to start somewhere?
Yeah.
All the Roman hate had to start somewhere. And you talked about this little sect of fans that were Roman haters and it grew and grew and grew. It all has to start somewhere. Is it happening with Seth? I don't know, but we know what we heard. We heard the man handed a microphone, and we heard people booing. My question is, why?
Well, and this is the question for me, Bully, because it's a tough one to answer. Now, you talked a lot about on Monday that you wanted to see somebody kind of get the rub from a returning legend, and it makes sense. And we didn't really get a lot of that on Monday. But I think Seth was kind of given the opportunity on Monday. I think they handed the ball to Seth and he fumbled it. Now, let me ask you, first of all, two segments, neither one was great. And he was awful, awful on the microphone in that Miz TV segment on Monday. But is that Seth's fault? Is that creative's fault? I mean, that segment with Seth Rollins on Miz TV on Monday was cringeworthy. I mean, cringeworthy. It did nothing for Seth. It did nothing for Brock. It did nothing for the match that's going to take place at SummerSlam. Whose fault is that?
I mean, do you think it was Seth's idea to go out there and make fun of Brock Lesnar the way he did?
I would say no.
Okay. So we know where it's coming from. Whether you enjoyed the execution or not is those are your feelings. I'm kind of on the same side with you. I didn't think it did much for him. And the part that I would have liked to have seen happen was at the end of the segment with DX and the NWO. It's okay to have Seth standing in the ring with all those guys. That's kind of cool. I didn't like what happened to the club. They were the fodder for that, and I don't know why they needed to be. They could have gotten something out of it. I'm not even sure that they got the rub from being in the ring with all those guys. But you know what should have happened at the end when they handed Seth the microphone? They should have said, we're going to let Seth do the honors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Seth should have said, guys, I get it, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you handing me the microphone to hit your tagline. You got two words, but Seth Rollins has three words. And that's when Seth should have said, burn it down. Shouldn't have hit the suck it. The suck it is somebody else's.
Yeah.
You don't need to say suck it. You invented burn it down. You get the crowd to say burn it down. And then the veterans and the icons look at him and they give him the thumbs up like, yeah, man, you didn't need to ride our coattails in this moment. We're jumping on your coattails. That's how Seth could have took the segment back over and he could have got the fans on his side. Tell me what you think about that.
I love it. I love it because, again, doesn't that harken back to what we saw yesterday with Shawn Michaels and Dolph Ziggler? Shawn Michaels didn't make that a showcase for himself or a nostalgia trip. What he did is he used his influence and what he's been able to accomplish to get somebody up to that next level. And like we said, we're looking at Dolph Ziggler in a completely different way now.
So the main concern there is, I mean, if you look at it, Steve getting these monster reactions still, and Seth starting to get a spattering of boos. I'm not telling you that I think he deserves it. I'm not telling you that I think it's going to continue to happen. I'm just acknowledging the fact that it did happen. If you want to start a fire, Dave, what do you need first?
You need a match.
You need a spark.
Yes.
And that could have been the spark. Fans 5 years ago, or however long it was, what was it, 2015 Royal Rumble? Fans didn't like Roman rubbing up against The Rock. They felt it was forced. Maybe they felt it was forced the other night also.
It was. Or maybe, you know what, Bully, maybe it's the other end. They rather see the returning legend say those words than the up-and-coming superstar that should be your main eventer and is your main eventer at SummerSlam this year.
And there were a couple of things that did not work that night. I'll tell you what, one of the things that sticks out in my mind that they could have done a lot better job with was Mark Henry.
Oh, my gosh.
Our very own Mark Henry.
Yep.
I mean, it's cool to see him there. Don't get me wrong. But what would I have done with Mark Henry if I had the pencil? Something very simple. After Braun Strowman squashed that kid, I would have hit Mark Henry's music. I would have had Mark Henry come down to the ring. I would have had Mark Henry standing face to face with Braun Strowman. I have the world's strongest man along with probably the strongest guy in the WWE right now. Face to face. Is something going to happen? What's about to go down? Create that moment of tension. Do you remember the scene from the movie Predator? When Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger see each other for the first time.
You son of a bitch.
And the way they shake hands in that arm wrestling position, that show of respect, but yet that show of strength. I would have liked to have seen Mark and Braun shake hands like that. Hold that arm wrestling position. Look at each other dead in the eyes. Mark gives the nod to Braun and then raises Braun's hands. Now you've got the endorsement from the world's strongest man. What a better way to give somebody the rub. That would have been a lot better to me than to just see Mark standing backstage with Mick. Mick goes to the ring and then gets killed by the Fiend. Well, what happened to Mark? How come he didn't come save you? Yes, we know Mark is terrified of the Fiend. But using Mark for Braun would have been a much better utilization of Mark Henry's Hall of Fame star power.
I 100% agree. Give this man the pencil.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Joining us here in studio, the boys of Kevin Von Erich, Ross and Marshall Von Erich, now with MLW. It was huge news just a couple of months back, and they're here in the city at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens, New York. Tomorrow night, MLW Fusion TV tapings, and the Von Erichs are going to be a big, big part of that, and they join us right now here in studio. Marshall and Ross Von Erich, what's up, guys?
Man, thank you so much for
having me. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Honored to be here.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
All right, so, guys, playing Stranglehold. So I'm just wondering, were there any moments back in the day where you'd be with your father, this came on the radio, like, what's the reaction? What do you feel when you hear that song?
Yeah, so if we're ever in traffic or whatever, yeah, everything stops in the car and he'd crank it.
Yeah, it's weird not hearing it full blast. That's something weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, because I remember the first time we ever had your dad on as a guest here, and we played that song. And you don't know. I mean, you know, obviously that was his entrance theme for years. He might be sick of hearing that song. And he was like, I'm getting goosebumps. I want to jump into the ring right now. And it's like, all right, that's very, very cool. And
it never grew old. Yeah.
And it's a classic. But,
yeah.
But again, wrestling fans have such a different head when it comes to music. Tommy Dreamer is also a host here on Busted Open. We talk about it all the time. When I hear that song, I'm not thinking of Ted Nugent. I'm not thinking of a concert. I'm thinking of Kevin Von Erich going to that ring at the Sportatorium.
It's because, you know, watching him as his kids, that song pumped us up, because we thought of, you know, dad being a superhero and doing his thing, and to be in that position to hear that song come on. And Now we're doing it, you know. It really is. It pumps you up, you know. This is exactly what we wanted to do, and we're doing it now. Yeah.
Guys, it seems like a lot of the times that me and Dave talk about you guys, or when we speak with you guys, dad is always in the conversation. And obviously we always show him and your family the respect that he deserves, your family deserves, and you guys deserve. But is it time now to step away from talking about dad? Is it time now for you to get out of that Von Erich shadow of the past and start establishing your own identities and your own careers?
Yeah, actually, that's exactly what I think we've been doing here with MLW. And we're at a point in our careers now where it's like, you know, it's time now. I think we're ready, you know, and we've established our characters and stuff. And we're just excited to see what the future holds.
Is MLW the perfect place for you? MLW's got a buzz around it. It's hot. You know, we've talked a lot about the string of sellouts in Chicago recently for MLW. MLW Fusion's a great show on BN Sports. Do you find that this brand is a good fit for you?
Yes, I think so, because it gives us, you know, the freedom to kind of listen to the crowd. Our matches aren't, you know, your stereotypical matches. It's a little of that brawling, you know, smash mouth wrestling.
And a little more old school style.
Yeah,
I'd say, yeah,
yeah. And so it's just awesome that they give us the freedom to, you know, to be us.
Yeah, and we feel like MLW has been on the rise and is on the rise right now. They got a great locker room, tons of awesome talent. So we're just happy to be a part of the company. Really,
exactly.
Are you guys still living in Hawaii? Are you in the States now?
We're still living in Hawaii.
We're still in Hawaii.
If you're going to be working a lot more in the continental United States, do you think it's time to get over here to make that travel a little easier on you?
Well, yeah, that's what a lot of people are suggesting us to do that, and that probably would make more sense. But right now, I got a baby that's due next month, and you know, my dad, he is in his later days in his life, and he's he enjoys he kind of needs us around right now. We help him out a lot, and so it's just for this year, now that we've signed with MLW, we're gonna get a little more busy now.
Well, I mean, that's a perfect answer. You have a child and your dad, and you know how protective your dad has been of you guys growing up, and the fact that you're willing to endure all of that extra travel, which puts a tremendous wear and tear on your body for your dad. Much respect for the both of you for that answer.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, got to keep family tight. And here you are in New York City, like I mentioned before, tomorrow night at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens, New York at 7 p.m. Never Say Never, MLW Fusion TV taping that you can see each and every week on BN Sports. And you guys are here in New York City, and I'm talking to you before you joined us. Like, it's been quite some time since you guys have been here in New York.
Yeah, this is our first adult trip where we're not, you know, tagging along with dad. We're actually, you know, we're asked to come here, and so we're honored for sure.
Yeah, no, it's been an awesome experience. We want to get some, you know, some good pizza, some hot dogs, some of those food. We want to look at these food trucks and stuff, and I didn't see as many yellow taxis as I thought I would, so I guess that's...
I think he's comparing everything to Home Alone, so he's not really sure what to expect.
All right, yeah. So I think it kind of falls somewhere in between Home Alone and Escape from New York. I think that's probably...
Okay, yeah.
It probably falls in between there. And when it comes to pizza, guys, before you say goodbye, I think Alex and I will take you aside and tell you exactly where you need to go to get some good pizza, because you don't want to get caught in a tourist trap. You're in the middle of Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's like being at Disney World. You know, there's a lot of, like, touristy, shiny things that you think...
Yeah,
like, this is kind of like the movie Elf. Don't go, like, where they say best coffee in town. Don't always believe what you're reading New York City. Yeah, so we'll kind of tell you where you should go.
Yeah, if we're from Hawaii, we know we're being worked.
Yeah.
Oh, and guys, you got to be very careful with La Greca, because he is an undercover worker. You see, he'll take you to the pizzeria, and then he'll be like, "Well, guys, you know, I did take you to the best pizza in town. Maybe you should buy me a slice."
Fork it over. Yeah.
Big worker, that La Greca.
I would never do that. But if I am going to take the time out and I am a busy man, a slice of pizza actually would go pretty good down on a Wednesday after the show. I get really hungry. Now, it's funny, because as I was promoting you guys coming on the show, When I talked about you, Marshall, I said, "I'm wondering if he's got shoes on. Every time I see you, you don't have shoes," kind of like your dad.
That's right.
And then with Ross, it's a completely different story. Do you feel like you have different styles? You know, what are you comfortable with? Do you feel like you had to give a little tribute? Do you actually feel comfortable not wearing the boots? Do you feel comfortable wearing the boots? What's it like for you?
I love not wearing the boots. I've been recommended by a lot of people to put boots on. And my dad, believe it or not, my dad didn't tell me not to wear boots. It was I love to pack light, you know, and I can travel with a backpack, and that's all I need. Got my knee pads in my trunks, and I'm ready to go. But it has to do with balance. I kind of feel my surroundings a little better. I'm always barefoot in Hawaii, going to grocery stores. I would go to school. That's barefoot. That's or wearing slippers or whatever. But it helps me feel. It just feel the ring better. Feel my surroundings better.
Okay, and with you, Ross?
Yeah, well, I wear the kick pads and stuff. Obviously, I do kicks and all that kind of stuff. Trained MMA, jiu-jitsu and stuff. So try to incorporate a little bit of that. But I mean, I also love going barefoot, you know, in wood too. But it'd just be kind of weird, two barefoot guys out there, I think. Yeah. But I think one is plenty. So
yeah, one's enough.
Guys, when you look at the family history in and out of the ring, the Von Erich story is, it's incredible. But at the end, it is a bit sad, as true. I'm sure you guys have lived. But now the story continues, and it has a chance to have such a happy, I don't want to call it ending, the next happy chapter.
Yeah.
The next Star Wars that we're going to see is called The Rise of Skywalker. Do you guys look at yourselves as the rise of the Von Erich family?
It's funny you said that. A lot of people have used that, compared it to two Star Wars. And that's really every time we're in the ring, and I think our careers kind of changed when we realized, you know, who are uncles and grandfather and what they did and what they did. We knew that the name was just a blessing. We didn't do anything to earn it. It was given to us. And so we fighting with that name. If we're not giving it everything we have, I'm not saying that in a cheesy way. I really mean, like, you know, give it, go all out every time. It's not honoring the family, you know? And so we're honored to carry this name,
I feel like we do feel a little bit of that, like, not really pressure, but just like it's time, you know, and the torch has been passed and it's a new chapter, as you were saying.
Yeah, it's a new chapter.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, knowing you guys were coming on today and watching some of your matches and with a lot of the interviews, obviously people want to talk to your dad because he's a legend,
yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. And then, you know, and then introducing you and it's a blessing and a curse because more people are going to want to see you guys wrestle because of your family tradition. But at the same time, you guys are extremely talented in the ring and you're not riding off on just that name alone because you're both extremely
Thank
talented.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I can see that being both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. Yeah. But people say, we're, you know, the Von Erich curse or whatever, but we would definitely say, we'd say we're blessed. I got my brother here with me, and you know, we really are. This is we're shoot best friends. We really are. We're close, and that's when our wrestling careers have kind of changed. Is when you know it's that's my brother, and if I ever see two guys on my brother, the referee's not going to stop me. I'm going to defend my brother same way, and we're in there trying to show off in front of each other. We're not thinking about lineage, family, until after, but when we're in there, it's just I'm defending my brother.
You know, and the way we see it, you know, we're best friends. We get to travel. We get to do what my grandfather, my dad, uncles
yep.
did. And we're just trying to make the most out of every, you know, city. Like, here we are in New York, and we're totally trying to just enjoy ourselves and really just take the good from all this stuff.
Everything. Yeah, I mean, the wrestling's been the only door that hasn't shut, but we've tried a lot of things. And,
you know, yeah, while this door is open, we agreed we're just going to give it all we got, you know, until the door closes, and, you know, that's our mentality.
And that's our promise to the MLW fans and all Von Erich fans. You will get the best product. We're going to give it everything we have. What we can deliver will be our best.
You guys are coming up in a time and era of pro wrestling where athleticism and high spots seem to be what fans really enjoy. I would imagine MLW fans really enjoy that stuff. Kind of younger guys sometimes working for the pop, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I know growing up that you have been taught character development and wrestling psychology because your family was one of the best at it. How do you combine the two? How do you use the Von Erich psychology of telling stories in a match and mesh it with what fans want to see today?
Trying to really, I guess, make some sort of hybrid combination of the two. You know, we're aware wrestling has evolved, you know, and we're trying to change with the times, you know, but we also have an idea of what we want to portray.
Yeah.
And what we're going for, you know, is to stay true to the Von Erich name. that's our mentality on that. You know, there are spots, you know, and when you work with the people you do nowadays, like, you're going to have to do spots here and there. And so there's no way around it, you know, but we just try to incorporate our brawling style and what we do best into that.
And one thing my dad told us that did help was, you know, because he was telling us to listen to the people for a really long time. And that was a little bit, it's kind of difficult in Japan. Listen to the crowd, feel the crowd or whatever, and not until we started working in the States more often, and we were like, okay, they're listening to the people helps, and but it was just having that safe feeling, that assurance of having spots. We definitely see how that felt better, and sometimes you need them and stuff, but it was kind of a leap of faith to go listen to the crowd and not put my assurance in spots. And. And that definitely helped a lot. It's something that I think that's when we saw ourselves develop. Like, oh man, maybe we could be good at this, you know?
And what was your dad's reaction when both you wanted to become wrestlers? Was he happy about it? Was he cautious about it?
I think it was like concealed joy. You know, that was what he wanted all along, I think, you know? And when it finally happened, he was just like, so just quietly supportive, you know, and then he would go to our matches and there'd be like a tear in our eye, just in our, I mean, you know, really green first couple, you know, debut and all that. And, you know, we're all disappointed. My dad's just happy as can be, you know, and I, you know, that really does a lot for us to see him that happy, you know?
Yeah. He's been supportive our entire lives, football, track, whatever we were doing. He's been number one fan.
Every practice, every track meet, every football game, all that stuff. You know, he's the best dad, you know,
he's an even better father than he is a wrestler. I think so. And, And but seeing his dedication and work ethic, and my dad has, you know, he doesn't take shortcuts. He does the hard thing, and having him as someone to look up to has been awesome for us, awesome for our careers as well.
Guys, you know, you're brothers, you love each other, you got each other's back, but being on the road, I'm sure every once in a while you can get on each other's nerves. It has to happen. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. You know, Scott Steiner was the badass and the one with the perception in the Steiner brothers, but Rick could kick Scott's ass. If we locked you two guys in a room, okay, who's walking out?
All right, so Ross is the older brother, and so no matter what, I don't know.
Choose your words carefully right now.
I was just about to put you over, and I'm going to change it. All right, no, but yeah, he's being an older brother. He seems like he's always got the upper hand and stuff, and. And I don't want to mess with his honor and stuff, so I'll let him win.
Yeah, he lets it slide.
I let it slide.
Talk about the claw. I mean, obviously, huge family tradition with that maneuver, and it one of the greatest finishers of all time. And
thank you, and
I'm looking at both you guys, and you got the right hands for it.
Oh, thank you. the farmer hands. Hand. That's what it is. You know, my dad did say, he's like, if you do the claw enough, you can actually get good at it. And, you know, and guys will start, you know, squeezing your hands on your light up and stuff. And I was like, okay, sweet, when I get to that point.
Well, going back and watching your dad, like, some people would say, you know, he kind of was like the foundation of that strong style, because when he would wrestle, it would really be that strong style that people talk about today.
That's what he said. He said when he first got into wrestling, he played football as well at the University of North Texas. And he invited all of his teammates, and he's like, man, I don't want them to laugh at what I do for a living. I want them to think this is a serious thing. And he said all of his teammates were sitting in the front row, and that was one of his first matches where he just laid everything in, he wanted it to be as believable as possible. And he said that, like, he said that's when he kind of found his style of wrestling, you know, that Texas smash mouth brawl.
Yeah, and he would tell the other guy, just lay it in. You know, he doesn't want to be embarrassed out there, you know, and especially owning the company as our family did. You know, you want to put the best product out there.
Yeah, and he said, if I can't feel it, I won't sell it, man. He'd make contact, hit me.
And it was important, Bully, for that time period, because if you remember back in the 80s, like most TV shows, it was, you know, studio wrestling, and they had maybe the one or two camera angles, and that was it. World Class Championship Wrestling was really innovative, what they had, like, actual cameramen that would go around the ring, and you really got the sights and sounds of what was going on. You got World Class got as close as possible to the wrestlers in the ring than any other show at that time. So I can understand, especially really, you know, bringing it, because you had to do that because how close those camera angles would be.
Exactly. The talent started listening to the cameramen, and they just, everyone kind of worked together, and the cameramen had some suggestions, my dad was saying, and he said just everyone, you know, try to do their part to make it the product it was really organic, you know, and putting microphones under the ring and all coming up to music.
Yeah, and my dad warns us about that a lot. He'll just say to just lay it in, you know, always lay it in, tell the other guy to lay it in back, especially when you're close to the crowd, you know, like by the fences or something, you know, just, you know, get, you know, you're both athletes, you're both big strong guys, you know, you're not going to hurt each other, you know, just be safe, but lay them in, you know. Yeah.
Guys, I remember as a kid watching pro wrestling, I was mesmerized by tag team wrestling, and I always thought tag team wrestling was so much more exciting than singles wrestling. And I knew, I mean, from the very first time I've ever seen it, I was like, I want to be a part of a tag team. You guys want to stay a team forever, or do either one of you have singles aspirations?
I feel, me personally, Marshall, I feel the same way you did. We watched you you a lot growing up, and just how impactful it was, and how you could tagging for us was something.
Yeah,
definitely
for us, you know, we grew up around the Attitude Era, back when you and Devon were doing your thing, and, you know, grew up on my dad watching his my dad and his brothers, you know, so it, that's kind of the same way. We've always felt like tag team was our calling.
And one thing that, I mean, some people might disagree, but because we also love the Hardy Boys growing up, their brothers, and when they split up, that's honestly when we stopped watching. We were just like, man, that bothered us so bad. And we told each other when we got into wrestling, hey, let's never split up, you know, because every...
Yeah, you know, we kind of bought into like, oh, they're brothers. They got each other's back, you know, yeah. Like we thought, oh, that's cool. You know, they're like, you know, they're for each other, you know, and then they turn and it's just like, eh, you know.
You know, and at the end of the day, you're always brothers and it's, you know, with each other, I think in reality, because we've been in situations where, yeah, people would try to turn us on each other or whatever, but, you know, it's my brother, and we know each other, and even if we disagree on something, he's still my brother at the end of the day. You know, we're going to, that's how life goes, you know.
And allow me to agree with you. You guys should stay together forever.
Don't
ever let anybody break you up.
Thank you so much for saying
good advice.
That's awesome advice. Thank you.
MLW. Let's get back to MLW. We want to talk about what's going to be taking place tomorrow night in the locker. What's the locker room vibe at MLW? Do you find that, are there any leaders in that locker room? Are there anybody that you kind of lean on a little bit when it comes to MLW?
Well, yeah. Well, we get to have, you know, Jim Cornette, you know, to pick his brain. That's awesome. Loki's he's like a locker room leader and stuff. But just the locker room is, I would say it's healthy. I mean, there's not really any cliques or anything. Everyone's just friendly to each other. Everyone.
Yeah, you kind of get the vibe that everyone's pulling for each other rather than it's kind of cutthroat, you know, and it's actually a good environment. I mean, I haven't been in a lot of dressing rooms like that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like so much people are trying to build their name. It looks like they're trying to build the brand a little bit. Everyone wants, you know, MLW to
succeed,
and that's exactly what, you know, how we feel.
Can I make one suggestion, though? I mean, I'm not one to talk about anybody else, but stay away from MJF. I don't know if you've crossed paths with MJF at MLW or anything, but don't listen to anything that guy has to say. Please.
Oh man, I don't know. His gimmick is what it is. He's a nice guy, you know.
Yeah, he's really not.
Okay.
He's really not.
I won't argue with you on
he's
that.
He's got a good heart.
MJF is listening right now, he just blocked you both on social media.
Yeah, okay. Listen, just take my advice. I've had a couple of run-ins with that guy. There's nothing nice about MJF.
Okay, maybe we haven't had enough run-ins with him.
All right, talk about what we're going to be able to expect tomorrow night with MLW and Melrose and Queens.
You know, you're going to get everything that we have. My brother and I, we feel like right now we do have something to prove, and you know, having MLW believing in us and willing to work with us, being in Hawaii, we want to prove. We want to prove MLW right, and the fans, the people that do believe in us, and so yeah, it's going to be Smash Mouth Wrestling, you know, and we will give everything we have. We're so excited to be here, and yeah, we want to blow the roof off, and that's the goal for the objective for tomorrow.
Guys, when you sit back and you look at the entire landscape of tag team wrestling all over the world, other than the teams that you're going to be working with in MLW, is there one particular team out there that you guys look at each other and goes, those are the guys we want to be in there with? Those are the guys that we know we can tear the house down with and make money with.
Honestly, you and Devon was like a dream match for us growing up. And I was like, if that ever happened, that would be awesome, because we could you know, just learn a lot from you guys, and the experience would be awesome. But right now in tag wrestling, it's anybody, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of good tag teams, but.
It really, it's hard to pick just one, honestly. I mean, that sounds like a really lame answer.
Yeah. It's hard.
I'm really struggling to think of a single tag team.
To work with, because honestly, there's these guys called the Dirty Blondes they're younger guys, but they're kind of that old school style. And we worked with them. We worked with them at World Class Revolution, in a Dallas match, and it was classic old school style, and they got it. They both kind of look like Terry Gordy. And so it was fun for us, because we were fighting, you know, guys that really could look like they could kill us, and that's what we like.
You know,
like,
any guys that kind of agree with the philosophy that we're going with, you know, the old school Smash Mouth style, like, that's always, we know it's always going to be a fun, good match when we have
exactly, because we're listening to the people, you know, and that's it's fun.
Last question for me: are you worried a little bit about tomorrow being in front of that New York crowd for the first time? Because, you know, it's, you've kind of, since you've been wrestling, I know you've been in Japan, and that's a bit of a different crowd, and you've kind of wrestled in familiar territory. Are you nervous at all wrestling in front of that New York crowd tomorrow night?
You know, said it a couple times, but it's, we kind of felt that way in Milwaukee and also in Chicago
and in Philly. You know, the last few months where we actually really ventured out a lot from Texas, mostly mm-hmm. on the mainland, and the responses we got have been surprisingly, you know, well received, you know, and so we just feel like when we put our best product out there, I think people will respect that.
It's weird. It seems like everybody's kind of pulling for us right now, and that right there is kind of ignited something for both of us. And then, like, you know, people believe in us, and so we want to prove them right. That's kind of the motto right now.
All right, awesome. Ross and Marshall Von Erich, again, you can see them tomorrow night. Never Say Never, Fusion TV taping at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens, New York, starting at 7 p.m. Like I said, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to give away a pair of tickets for what you can see tomorrow night in New York City. Guys, thank you so much for the time. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having us.
As always, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Good luck with everything, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.